Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio, a podcast where we share stories from people around the world who are using cannabis as medicine. The information is meant to raise awareness about the health benefits of cannabis, but should not be taken as medical advice. Now, here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to episode 263 of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
Paget disease of the breast is a rare type of cancer of the nipple and the area around it. Most people with Paget disease of the breast also have one or more tumors inside the same breast. According to the National Cancer Institute, Paget disease of the breast occurs in both women and men, but most cases occur in women. Approximately 1 to 4% of all cases of breast cancer also involve Paget disease of the breast. The average age at diagnosis is 57 years, but the disease has been found in adolescents and in people in their late 80s. Our guest today had Paget disease, and doctors wanted to cut off her breasts, but she had other ideas. Joining us from Texas is Kathy Johnson. Kathy, it's good to talk to you. Thanks very much. Appreciate this.
Well, it's good to talk to y'all, too.
Kathy, take us through the period when you noticed something may be seriously wrong with you.
Well, actually, I was on, line, and I just ran across somebody that had Paget's disease of the nipple. So I went, oh my God, that looks like my nipple, because it'd been itching and it was kind of flattened out and reddish, you know, so I'd been like doctoring it with different things. And so immediately I thought I had it. So I made an appointment with an oncologist. And well, I didn't know he was an oncologist, but anyways, so I went to him and had a biopsy done. And of course it came back. It took him like 4 days and they called me in and it came back positive, and that, you know, that I had another one under it. You know, he felt around on it and everything. And so that day, when I walked in, they threw that on me, you know, you have Paget's disease, you have cancer, and you have two different cancers at the same time. And we've got chemo scheduled, radiation scheduled. First thing we're going to do is cut both of them off. And I'm like, well, why? Both. If one's good. Yeah, both. Wow. And so anyways, they had already scheduled me to start chemo too. So I don't know. It was such a crazy time. It was like I was walking in a fog.
So without even checking with you, they had gone ahead and booked chemo for you?
Yeah. That's the way they do where I'm from. You know, it's a customer care center.
You know, it's no different. I don't think it's any different anywhere else, Kathy,
no.
Because I was talking to a woman who had cancer, and she said, you know, when you're told you have cancer, and Corey will know this better than I, when you're told you have cancer, you're in really a state of shock. And she said, you're in a state of shock for about 2 weeks. And that's why they try and rush you in as quickly as they can, because they know you're in a state of shock. They know you're susceptible to what they're going to say. And, you know, most people, and I don't blame them for this, throw their health towards their doctor and say, help me.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, because it's like you've been hit by a truck.
What was that, Corey?
It's like you've been hit by a truck. You don't even know what's happened. And you're just stunned, and you're in a place of fear, and you're not thinking clearly.
Yes. But my late husband in 2010 died from bone cancer, multiple myeloma. And he did not die from bone cancer. He died from chemotherapy. You know, he was 185 pound, you know, had black belt in three different, you know, ran 5 miles every day. And they killed him with chemo. And I swore that then I would never do that. But a couple of months before I got, you know, told I had breast cancer, a friend of mine was dying. She had bad liver, all kinds of, she was dying. And she kept telling me, she'd call me. We only talked by phone. She kept telling me, I need cannabis oil. I need cannabis oil. So finally, I finally got a hold of this guy who people made fun of in Colorado, and I sent some money to him, and he sent me some cannabis oil. Well, it was a cannabis paste. And so her husband came over and got it that night, and she was delirious, talking out of her head, and we didn't think she was going to make it through that night. Well, lo and behold, the next day she was like a lot better. Better, better, better. And, you know, she's still going strong. In fact, she moved to New Mexico and grows her own now. She's totally, total recovery. So I knew just from having her, you know, I think it was probably about 6 months before I knew I was going to do cannabis oil if I ever got cancer. So that's what I did. I just wouldn't answer the phone when they called. You know, I just like dropped off the face of the map. You know, they couldn't find me.
Did you tell your doctor that you were going to do cannabis oil?
No, not till I got like 8 months of it down me, up right. me, I so should say.
When you're in that office and he's telling you we've got A, B, and C booked for you, what did you tell him then?
Tell him, okay, I'll be there.
And you didn't show up.
And you missed the party.
Yeah, I knew I wasn't going to be there. There was no way I was going to do that. No
way. So you decided you were going to do oil. Did you make your own? And how did you go about this? Like,
actually, Ronnie Smith, bless his heart, may he rest in peace. He got me started.
Okay, so Ian, you may not know this, but Ronnie Smith. This would be back when I was first getting involved with this. Ronnie Smith was a very well-known oil maker in the States that sent oil to people.
Yes, and I knew who you were, too.
What's that?
Knew who you were, too. I'd heard your story, too.
Ah, okay. So you got oil from Ronnie. And what started, did you start out, you know, the typical protocol of doing the half a grain of rice size or what?
I tried to do that, but I was so scared. And then I got to reading up on the suppositories, how much more viable it is and everything. And I started making the suppositories myself.
So and did you just do, were you just doing suppositories then, or did you do oral dose as well?
I did oral for like maybe a month or two, but you know, it got me too high. I never could adjust to it. So I really think I just did mostly suppositories.
Did you do any topical application, Kathy?
No, I tried to, but it burned.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You're probably aware, Kathy, and I think maybe Ian, you know this, that there's always, always, always this big fight going on in the cannabis groups about whether or not suppositories work, et cetera. And because, you know, tests show that it's, you know, doesn't absorb and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And, you know, I was at, when I spoke in Cannafest in Prague this year, and I was on the panel with Dr. Malamede and crew, he was saying, you know, we don't know why, because supposedly it doesn't work this way because it shows it's not absorbed or whatever, the studies, et cetera. But it's the most effective way. And I see this over and over again. I've, you know, 95% of the people I help do a protocol of suppositories morning and afternoon, oral dosing at night. And for some listeners who may not know, with suppositories, the chances of you getting high, there's not very many people that get high that way, so you can live your life. So, I mean, Kathy's story is great because it isn't a matter of, oh, she did other methods as well, so maybe it was the oral dose. It's sounding to me like it was predominantly suppositories, and here you are.
Yes, and also on the suppositories, I was adding like 5 drops of
apricot kernels,
because that's the most absorbent oil I could find. And you know, since there is, because you know, it is dry down there. You know, I'm sure it is hard to absorb. So I put that in there just to make it where it would absorb better. Because otherwise, if you take a poop, it all comes out, you know, then you've lost that money.
Yeah, well, I wonder too if so apricot kernels, that's B17, which is supposed to in itself be a cancer fighter. So that's an interesting combination you did there.
Know that, so
Kathy, yeah. Tell me about going back to the oncologist, or did you go back to the oncologist?
I did. I waited like 8 months till I waited until my nipple turned normal again.
Okay. And what did he or she say?
Well, they did. I wouldn't let them do a mammography. And mm-hmm. so I told them I would thermal imaging, even though I had to pay for it myself. And then I also did ultrasounds, and they both came back clear. And this little doctor, he was the sweetest little Indian man. And in front of his nurse, there I was sitting on the end of the table in front of his nurse. When he said, "What did you do?" And I told him I did cannabis oil, and he called me a fucking idiot. "You fucking idiot." That's what he said to me.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
Round and slammed the door. And me and his nurse just looked at each other. And I said, "Well, what do you think about that?" And she said, "I think we ought to get well any way we can." And then when I got out there to pay, I mean, not pay, but, you know, check out, he had scheduled me for surgery. So I thought, okay, I'm gonna play this. Because I was pissed. So I went to see the surgeon. It was a female surgeon. I went to see her, and she read my paperwork, and she said, "Well, exactly why are you here?" And I was like, "I have no idea why I'm here, because he scheduled me to see you." And she said, "Well, I don't have anything for you. Good luck to you." You know, it's totally different. See, apparently she didn't want her boobs, you know, chopped off either.
Well, that is really a remarkable comment from that doctor. I mean, that's actually, you know, thinking about it, listening to you talk about it, is really a disgusting attitude to have towards a patient. It really is.
Yeah, I have one now that I don't like, you know, but that's because I don't. He tries to be nice, but I'm still not liking him. But he's part of on-call. I tell him, "No, I don't do that. You know, nobody's going to do this to me or that. You know, I'm just here because I have to be, just for this one thing."
You know, it's too bad that doctor hadn't been, I don't know, more excited for you would have been nice. Like,
exactly.
Oh my God, what did you do? Yeah. How did you do this? This is amazing. You know?
I still can't believe it. My jaw must have dropped, and hers did too. We could not believe a little bitty man like that could scream at, you know. Oh, it was unreal. But wow. Just showed me, you know, I was a customer, not a patient.
Well, that's a very good. That's an excellent comment, Kathy. You are a customer with a lot of these allopathic medicine folk. And you're not a patient. We've talked to people, Corey and I have talked to a number of people whose oncologist initially was very opposed to cannabis, but when the patient came back and they were clear, the oncologist was very happy for them and said, "Whatever you're doing, keep doing it." And, you know, some of them don't want to hear what you've done because it goes against everything they've been taught in medical school. They also, I think, are responsible for promoting the allopathic conventional medicine treatments. But those who are really compassionate, those doctors who are compassionate for their patients. They want their patients to get well, regardless of what they do. And I think you're an excellent example of that.
I actually had a doctor that took me out to eat lunch just to talk about cannabis oil.
Oh, tell us about that.
Well, he was my doctor, you know, just my regular GP doctor. And, you know, it's never been a secret that I was a smoker. So anyways, when the breast cancer thing, I'm like 5 hours away from him. But when the breast cancer thing happened, I didn't even go to him. I went to, you know, I was in a big city instead of in the country. He's my country doctor. And so anyways, when I went back to get, I take Xanax, right? I used to take Xanax. And when I'd go like once a year to him just to get my refills. And so I went to him and I told him my deal. I took my, I had, you know, papers that said I was clear and all that. And he was very interested in it. And he was like, what are you doing for lunch today? And so anyways, he just wanted to talk about it. He was he actually had changed into a pain management doctor and it was fixing to move to Houston. So that was the last time I saw him, but he was very interested in cannabis. And he was young, you know, he had his hair a little bit too long. You know, he was probably in his early 40s. So he was open to it, unlike the other doctor.
Yeah, it's the younger ones who have more of an open mind than the baby boomers, those old farts who are have been conditioned to believe that cannabis is bad for you. And I think your story is fascinating because there's so many women out there who suffer from breast issues, and I believe, given talking to Corey and given the interviews we've done over the last number of years, I guess, Corey, that people want to be healthy, and cannabis will make them healthy. And Kathy, have you helped other people with various issues?
Many people is unreal.
Good for you. You've helped a lot of people.
I'm trying to think if I've done any breast cancer, but I've helped people with lung cancer, quite a few people with lung cancer. You know, it's like and CBD oil and stuff for seizures, MS, stuff like that.
Yeah. Kath, yourself, when you were taking oil, were you taking it 3 times a day?
No, I just took it morning and night. Okay. Half a gram in the morning when I got up, a half a gram at night when I went to bed.
Did you change your diet at all?
Because I was a Coke-aholic, man. I might drink 6 Cokes a day. So, yeah.
Kathy, that stuff's bad for you.
I know. Everything's bad for you.
You had 6 Cokes a day. How many do you have now?
One. I mean, I can't just stop. I gave up cottage cheese because it's got too much salt in it, so I just can't give up my Coke. One Coke's not going to kill me. And I still I make my own now. And I still, you know, do a little every week, just keep the dragon away.
Yeah, I myself always suggest to people every day, maintenance dose every day, every night, whatever.
Well, how much do you think for a maintenance dose?
Well, you know, Rick Simpson, back in the day, he said 1 gram a month. I like to err on the side of caution myself, so I suggest to people 2 to 3 grams a month, depending on their tolerance, too. But generally, by the time somebody's gone through a oil protocol with cancer, they've got a pretty good tolerance. So, and they just take it, you know.
I rub it on my gums now, just, you know.
Right. Now, but when you do oil, do you do multi-strains or just one?
Well, I grow like 4 different strains right now.
Yeah, so, good.
Yeah. I just skip around. I don't even really know what's in what. You know, I'll use one for a week and change to another one.
Yeah, I think that's good. What was I going to say to you, Kathy? How long has it been now since you've been cancer-free?
2014. I guess it was, it might have been the first part of 2015, because it happened in February when I found out I had it, and then I didn't go back for 8 months, so, you know. My nipples looked pretty good, you know, and 3 months, truthfully, but I was scared. You know, I was scared to go back to the doctor
because I totally get it. That's what I did. I waited an entire year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know why I went back. I just went back to see if I was clear. You know,
right? Well, I didn't go for a year because I didn't want any more bad news.
Yeah.
Corey, I think everyone we've talked to who goes back is fearful, even though they've been clear for a number of years, but they go back on a regular basis. They're still fearful.
Yeah, you're always worried whether it's going to rear its ugly head again.
Yeah.
I just think I'm my best doctor, because who knows my body better than me?
You are quite right.
Well, maybe your ex-husband.
He
your,
did.
Your late husband.
That's Ian's way of being ha-ha.
Or what,
I sure
what
you, that part of it.
What you can do, Kathy, is do the Corey Yellen protocol, which is 2 to 3 grams a month, plus a glass of wine occasionally.
Oh, that sounds nice.
And that way you can give up Coke. Early. What was that?
Oh, that's it's never too early for a glass of wine.
You've been talking to Corey too much.
I wish I could make it taste like Coke. You know, I did give up Coke there for a while, and when it was just like, you know, giving up smoking a cigarette. First time I drank one, it made me sick, you know.
No,
I gave up eating a lot of red meat, though, and the last time I ate a steak, it was so rich, it made me sick. Because I ate the whole thing.
Now, Kathy, do you still smoke?
No. Oh, so I smoke weed.
Weed, yeah.
Cannabis.
Yep.
Yeah.
But did you ever smoke cigarettes?
I did smoke cigarettes, but it's been quite a while. I'm glad I don't anymore. Yeah. I don't even know how I afforded to smoke to start with. No.
Well, because they were a lot cheaper years ago.
Yes, they were. I remember my mom used to send me to get hers for a quarter a pack.
Oh, God, I remember that. Am I as old as your mom?
I'm 68.
Yeah. No, I'm not as old as your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fascinating that you've come through this. And I think I'm always amazed at how people are so vigilant with their own health issues. And other people just give up their health to their doctor, whereas
it's like they just collapse into somebody that doesn't even know themselves.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
Doctors are not gods. We are the gods. People out there helping other people get well without killing them, and you know, chemo, all it does is make it come back stronger. You know, I mean, very rarely do I meet anybody who didn't have cancer 3 or 4 times after doing chemo, or who's dead.
Yeah, Corey, I'm sure you've dealt with a lot of people who have said that a relative of theirs has had cancer and the cancer didn't kill them. It was the chemo that killed them. It may not have killed them right away, but down the road, it has some very serious side effects.
I hear that on an almost daily basis.
Yeah, I'll never say my husband died from multiple myeloma. He died from chemotherapy.
Yeah.
And he suffered. I would rather just die naturally of cancer. You know, my grandmother actually, she got diagnosed with cancer when she was 75, and she never had any treatment. Well, I say that, but she never had any treatment, but she lived to be 92, and, you know, she died of a stroke. But truth be known, her and my great-great-grandmother, they lived side by side. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was a kid, they always had victory gardens. I actually had gotten high with my grandmother before, you know, and late. I mean, I never even went and looked in her garden again. But I think she treated herself.
You got high with her?
Yes, I did. We were sitting on the front porch one day, and she asked me if I... we were talking about weed, and she said, well, you know, I'd like to smoke some of that. And I was like, really? And she said, yeah, I would. And I said, well, I'll be back in a minute. I went and got one and came back, and we sat there and smoked it, and, you know... It was great. I actually smoked half of it with her and left the rest. you know. But yeah.
Well, in your great grandmother's day, weed was legal.
Yes, it was. Well, yeah, but it,
early on.
I mean, it in the 50s it wasn't, and I remember they had their yard didn't have anything but dirt and poppies growing in it. And I remember being over there one day, and the sheriff's department came over there, and they pulled up every poppy in her yard. Every poppy. So I think they were doing even more than that. My great-great-grandmother, she was 102 when she died, and then my great-grandmother, she was 99 when she died, so... My grandmother, she was 94 when she died. So, and she had breast cancer when she was 75, from 75 to 94. That's 20 years.
She had breast cancer without any treatment for that length of
treatment, yeah. She said she was too old to have treatment. She didn't want to have treatment. She just lived the rest of her life. She was never in pain, you know.
Well, it's a lot of years left in you, Kathy.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
How difficult is it for a person to obtain cannabis in Texas?
Well, I don't know, since I have my own little grow room. It's hard. I got in an argument on a radio station with our sheriff, and I told him he sounded like an idiot, and that he needed to, because he was really redneck, you know, he needed to do some research. And he said, well, I'm not going to research it on no computer. And I'm like, well, then what are you going to research it on? You know, you idiot. Luckily, he died. So, but
oh, dear.
He died and I moved, you know.
Yeah.
But, it's like not that hard back in the day, but it's expensive. It's like, you know, $200 for an ounce in Texas. Everywhere else, it's a lot cheaper.
$200 an ounce. What is it here, Corey?
$180 to $200, depending.
Yeah. See, I've
got a map it's a bit old now, but I've got a map of the states and how much an ounce costs in each state, and some of the places are higher. Some were like $380.
Wow!
Oh my god!
Yeah,
amazing. When you could just buy the seeds and plant, you know, auto flowering, and not even have to worry about it. I spent like $1,500 on the best light money can buy. It cost me $30 a month. I can grow 9 plants at one time. I can do that every 4 months.
Nice.
So, you know, I give it to my daughter, my granddaughter, my son-in-law, and me, and then have lots left for everything else, you know, people in need.
I like that meme that I saw on Facebook where the police are breaking down this door and say, you're not in there relaxing with this plant, are you? Oh, I know. We live in very interesting times.
Crazy. You know, just right across the border, all the way around us is legal. You know, Texas will be the last place.
Why is that?
Because of the rednecks and the Southern Baptists. In fact, the day that I found out, I went to the oncologist and found out, you know, anyways, my mother-in-law was a strict Baptist. She was a Sunday school teacher for 32 years. So I went over to her house. And everybody from church was there, you know, to pray about it. Well, they prayed about my husband for like, you know, 2 years till he died. And so they were all there. The preachers were all there. This is a big, you know, expensive church, the best church. So anyways, I went in there and the first thing that fell out of my mouth was I threw my hands up and I said, I'm not going to do chemotherapy. I'm doing cannabis oil. Well, that one. But actually, my mother-in-law, she gave me my first, money to buy it with. $2,000.
Wow. Geez, Kathy, you're a shit disturber. I like that.
I am. I am one of those.
I like that a lot. Kathy, it was great. It was wonderful to talk to you. Is there anything you want to say in conclusion?
Just don't give up on yourself. You are your best hope for curing your cancer, not a doctor. You know, try cannabis oil first and chemo late, if at all.
Very well said.
Yeah, well said, Kath.
Thank you.
Kathy, good to talk to you. Thanks. Appreciate you doing this. It's a wonderful chat. Wonderful to meet you.
Yeah, I loved it. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much, Kathy.
Thank you, too.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And as you probably heard, Corey Yelland is at home doing this. She's high risk for the virus that's going around. And so we did it on three-way call, and we'll continue doing that until things return to normal. And we encourage you to share our podcasts on your social media platforms, and we'd like to get the message out as much as we can, increase the audience, and increase the knowledge of the use of cannabis for health purposes. And we are not medical doctors, but we want to share this information, and we'd like your help in sharing it. And if you'd like to donate to Cannabis Health Radio, feel free. You can donate on our website, cannabishealthradio.com, or you can go on Patreon, and for the price of a cup of coffee a month, you can donate $5, and it would greatly help us out. Once again, we'd like to thank Ron Zahr for producing the program, and also to Mark VL in Belgium, who posts our podcasts on YouTube. And we thank you very much for listening.
Thanks for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. For more information and to search previous podcasts, visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is made possible by donations from our listeners. If you found the information helpful, please consider making a donation in any amount through our website. You can also help us share our message by leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. We are very grateful for your support. Thank you.